You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasson Securities. Nick Kunzer is not with us this evening, David, because he's got a presentation. I'm sad he's not, because he must have a trading perspective about what's happened over the last 24 to 36 hours. Because this time yesterday, the JSE closed down 1.5%, but was around about half of the losses that it had experienced in mid-afternoon, which is around about 3%. So I thought maybe we'd get a bit of a rally today. And OK, it held its own for a little while, but then the S&P futures started to go and go and go. And it's been another awful day. It really does look bad, especially when the S&P's lows of yesterday were broken. Everyone seemed to throw in the towel over there. It looks really ugly again, does it not?
It does, and I think what triggered today was results that came out of J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley.
Yes.
You know, to be honest, my view, I couldn't see them doing anything. You know, they're two banks. And, Lindsay, to put it in perspective, whenever you've asked me about banks or we've discussed banks or wherever I've been, I've always avoided banks. You know, I've avoided banks. And banks are bull market stocks. When things are ticking over and doing well, and there's investment banking and there's trading and people are putting transactions through their credit cards, you know, it's always been that kind of a market. And in these kind of dull markets, I think that's the worst place to be. And what's exposed today in both JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley's is the number one, the complete, I wouldn't say call it collapse, but a very heavy fall in investment banking. In other words, that's where you're raising money or doing M&As and, you know, as investment bankers do. And that's come down significantly. And also, there's just seems to be a lack of momentum in these banking earnings. The other part of it is JP Morgan has had to put up significant money for provisions, you know, fearing that they'll have some credit losses. Now, last year, it was a reversal of all the provisions they made during lockdown. So, a messy result, but I don't think that one expected anything out of the banks. But the markets responded and used it as a further tool that we got on top of yesterday, which was the very, very high levels of inflation, you know, to mark the market down. So we are having one of an awful day. But from our perspective, and this is where we're getting, is that the dollar has gone very strong. And the rand, the last time I looked, was trading at 17.20, which is another 1+% down on the day. And I mean, you know, that has an enormous impact on our country. I know it should increase earnings, but against that, we've also got a massive fall in commodity prices. And I think out of all the markets, I think the commodity market looks just so weak. And for the first time, we include oil.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a second, David. But let me just reiterate what's happened. Yesterday was the shock of inflation at 9.1%, and that was the big market driver, although it shrugged it off towards the end, because at one stage, the S&P was down 2% yesterday and closed more or less unchanged. Today, the big news is, as you quite rightly say, the kickoff of second quarter earnings season. JP Morgan Chase earnings fell 28% after building reserves for bad loans. Building reserves for bad loans, as you said, rather than easing them back. And the bank has suspended buybacks. It was buying back its own stock, and now they're saying, no, a balance sheet won't handle this. We've got to build some reserves.
They called it regulatory, increased regulatory requirements, you know, which would be their reserves that they have to keep. So I think they're just easing off on that.
Yeah, anyway, and I didn't see the other ones, Morgan Stanley. Were they as bad or slightly less bad?
I would put them in the same category. I think pretty much the same trend. They haven't been as badly hit as JP Morgan, maybe because of the buyback situation. I can't really comment. I'm just going through the results now. And there are lots of numbers that one has to digest. But I think you get the trend. You know, you get the big picture. What is happening is that things are tougher. Number one, I think they're all J.P. Morgan. I think Morgan Stanley is more of a trading bank than maybe J.P. Morgan. You know, J.P. Morgan's also got has Chase, which is a retail bank, which Morgan Stanley hasn't got. So I think you know, there are more issues that J.P. Morgan will face than say someone like Morgan Stanley. That's where the provisions come, I think, against credit losses.
Anyway, the last thing you need at the moment with all the other news, the fundamental news coming out, the macroeconomics and the geopolitics and everything, the last thing you need is a poor second quarter earnings season, David. And that's, I mean, if today's anything to go by, then that's what we're going to get. Maybe the banks are misrepresentative of the bigger picture, but as you quite rightly say, a bull market, everyone loves financials. A bear market, no, kick them out. And that's what
they're
doing. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what they can do.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, let's have a look at some spot prices, because I know you've got to get off to internationally recognized.
I've got to put my makeup, yeah.
Award-winning Ian's ENCA. That's something nasty. That rand was in the highs. It was between 1725 and 1750 at one stage, but the dollar has regained par with the euro. I'll come to that in a second. So let's start with the rand. 1718 the dollar rand. British pound against the rand 2030. Euro rand 1720. Euro dollar was 0.9965 at one stage. It's now 1.0013. I don't know how to say that. I will just from now on, when it's par or parity, I'll say par 13. So it's par 13 at the moment, the euro dollar. In other words, a euro only just buys more dollars than it's worth, which is extraordinary. Yep. Hasn't happened for 20 years. I mean, for goodness sake.
I think it happened when the euro was first listed. I think back in the 90s, yeah.
I think you're right. Yes, I think it was.
Round about that area. Yeah, yeah.
I think it started at 114 or so. I don't know what it is. But anyway, the point is, for 20 years, we haven't seen it at parity, which is essentially what it is. British pound 118.10, which is also more than a two-year low. Commodities, horrible. Gold down.
Horrible.
Yeah, we'll come to the resources section of the JSE in a moment, and you must sit down for those ones. Gold price down 15 to 1707. Platinum down 16 to $824 an ounce. And palladium down $77 an ounce to $1888. That is a really big move, nearly 4% weaker. Silver's down nearly 5%. And if you have a look at crude oil.
Yeah, have a look at that.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
So important.
It's off its lows, though. It's 90. Oh, wait a second. No, my screen's just updated. $97.37 down 2.22% for Brent, and 2.75% weaker for the West Texas brand, which is $93.77. This is absolutely massive. And yet, on the other hand, natural gas has gone up again by nearly a percent to 6.75. So all sorts of stuff going on. Copper down 3%. Yeah, it's an unpleasant
picture. You know why it's important, Lindsay? You know why we have this discussion is that at the time of the war, there were so many positions being taken and there was so much negative outlook on where commodities, particularly oil, would head. There were projections of, the 150s and 170s and 180s, wherever it was.
Mm.
And, that did put a lot of fear into people. Now it's beginning to reflect a massive slowdown in demand. So these markets, or certainly the commodity markets, are well ahead of where the inflation numbers are, the actual published inflation numbers, and also to an extent where, maybe interest rates are, because this is pointing towards a big, big slowdown. So it's hard to interpret it. It's very, very hard. But I don't think anybody forecast that we would see such a plunge in commodity prices, considering where we were and what the war might bring, to those markets.
Yes, indeed. As I speak, the S&P 500 futures, which were down over 2%, have rallied back to the point of only being 1 2/3% down. But of course, there's hours and hours to go, so we don't know what's going to happen. But given what happened last night, maybe it's going to recover again. But I don't know. I just don't know, David. So let's have a look now at some of the movers on the JSE. On the Stock Exchange News Service, I think Pepco came out with a third quarter update. And Steinhoff at the time, when it came out, rallied 2%. But that need not detain us. I don't think that's one you look at.
I do. I look at what's happening at Pepco. I mean, because it's what happens to the local company. But this is Steinhoff's only hope. And I didn't pay much attention to it because there's so much trouble in Europe at the moment and so much trouble on the market that it's hardly going to have any impact.
No, it's not. And the other one that came out was Coronation Fund Managers came out with their assets under management update, and they just say, okay, it's 580 billion rand now, which is a lot of billions, but they must be having a tough time as well. I mean, they really must. I mean, I know they're hugely diversified.
There's nothing they could do. No. Yeah, there's nothing they could do. They might be protected in the on the fixed interest side because that market is held. But it's held. You know, that's the best word I can use. There has been some sell-off there. There have been losses there, but perhaps not as severe as we've seen in other parts of the world. You know, where we've seen interest rates like the U.S., where interest rates have gone up from a very, very low base. So I don't know. I think, you know, one's got to go through what they have done for their clients, but I don't think there's been anywhere to hide. You know, even if you were in what people call a multi-asset, portfolio, in other words, you spread right across the board, you've had no protection from any, you know, of any of those assets. There just hasn't been anywhere to hide.
No, and nowhere to hide today on the diggers on the JSE or wherever it is, because the first one on the downside on the JSE, I'm just going to refresh my screen because I'm sure there was a bit of action in the auction, but mine won't reflect that. But you can correct me because the tin mine in the DRC has become tin pot. Alphamin down 13.6%, David. That's a really big move. And, and it's down at 802, wasn't it? 20 rand a share at one stage, this thing?
Yes, yeah. It's come back enormously. I'll pick that up now.
And the other ones, just while you're checking my
it peaked. It had one of these big spikes where it was up to 28, but it did edge up towards about, you're right, 70, that 18 to 20 era. And now it's come all the way back to the 800 level.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd invest in a company that is at the mercy of the political situation in the DRC and also all the – I'm not saying – this is just me speculating. I'm just saying maybe you have to pay some bribes.
Yeah. Well, I think it also got caught up in the huge demand for all kinds of metals. You know, it peaked at a period where everything else was peaking as well. But, I mean – some of these smaller mines, you know, when they fall very, very heavily.
Yeah.
As we're seeing,
Double-edged sword, you know, very good when everything's going very well, but horribly bad when they're not. Northern Platinum down 8.6%. Sibanye-Stillwater, down 8.5%. Kumba Iron Ore down 8.2%. What was the high on that? Was it 600?
Kumba.
Yeah, what was the high on Kumba Iron Ore?
It nearly got back to its all-time high. Well, iron ore is back at 100 or thereabouts, but it's given up all those gains. We reached, I'll tell you where Kumba came, more or less.
Please do.
780 on the 25th of July 2021. So that's just over a year ago. Not even, nearly a year ago, we were 780 rand a share.
And it's now 440.
And we're now down at 450 rand a share,
Yeah, exactly. 8.2% down today, according to my delayed screen. I'm just going to refresh one more time in case I'm giving you duff information. No, 8.2% weaker. And Goldfields down 7.3%. I wonder now, I mean, I know these deals take a long time to do, but the gold mine that they've bought, they're probably looking at gold close to breaking 1,700 and thinking, oh, my goodness.
Isn't it remarkable? I mean, it is. And look, they're buying an international gold company, but I mean, gold is absolutely plunged. I know there are a lot of gold bulls there who believe that in these kind of markets, this is a protection against inflation. Just not working. You know, it's just as difficult as anything else that you try to deal in.
Let's have a look at some of the indices, if you would, David, before you dash off to the goggle box.
well, the All Shares lost 2.16%. This is a low for the year. 64.713 is we haven't seen it as low as this year. So I would imagine that the JSE is now off or more than 20% from the high that it reached. But I think on the year it's down about 12 or 13%. The top 40 index down 2.32% at 58,639. And then the big falls in the resource index down 5.7%. But precious metals, you know, that's the gold and platinum segment down 7%. I mean, that's big, you know, basics down 5.6%, but it's mainly, that's where the pain was. As you mentioned, all the platinum shares taking the brunt. Banks down 1.7%. So overall financials down 1%. They must have been supported by lower falls in some of the insurance companies. And consumer index, sorry, the industrial index down 0.065. I would imagine helped by the rand. Yeah. You know, the rand, the processed, NASPERS, AB InBev, British American Tobacco, all of those that make up the index, or when I say make it up, are responsible for the level. You know, with a 2% drop in the rand, I think that's where some support got in, you know. So it's not as bad. It's bad, but not as bad as it could have been if the rand hadn't have weakened. So I think that's why we're only seeing that kind of fall. But I think if you get into others, Lindsay, you know, those are the main indices in that. But if you do go into the industrial index, if you go into some of the other falls, you mentioned some of the, you know, some of these stocks in that. But if you go into the broader index, you had Tongaat down 23%, PPC down 13%. Some of these have had a bit of a run, but right across the board, you just got this, you know, the fall in the market, which is just continues. You know, it started and just maintained this very, very steady erosion of some of the smaller medium caps, which really were the support at the beginning of the year and gave people a lot of hope about our market.
It's quite depressing, actually.
So, yeah, not a pretty picture.
Yeah, it's quite depressing. Although I suppose what you say to yourself, David, is that let's not try and finesse it. Let's just have a quiet time, do some reading, do some research, let the market play itself out, and then start to phone clients. But at the moment, there's nothing to do. You can't sell now.
I haven't done anything, you know, I haven't done anything in 6 or 7 months. I promise you we have not. You know, when I say nothing, we've done very, very little over that time. What I am looking at now is to say, okay, where do we go a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line? And saying, you know, even though some stocks might be good companies, say, okay, let's do the switch now, because, you know, we'd rather go into companies that are going to outgrow the ones that we're selling. So it's not that they're necessarily bad companies, but you get laggards, and that's the kind of switches we'll start doing now and looking, you know, particularly as they throw away some very good companies and you get them at decent prices. And I'm talking mainly technology. So if some of these techs come down, I'll say, look, I would rather, you could put it in a way, it's like the reversal from value to growth now. You know, in other words, companies that might have not been hurt hard, I would rather now start to switch to some of the growth as we get to these lower levels.
Yeah.
But we've still got time. This is, you know, what we're going now is the news is still very, I mean, markets are still fragile. They're certainly not, they're not in any condition just to spring up and run again. You know, there's nothing there that's going to really drag people. So as you say, you just read, do your reading, study the companies, go through JP Morgan's results. I looked at some TSM, which is Taiwan Semiconductor, and that's a really good result. I mean, a superb number that came out in terms of what their sales are, beat on every front. So you highlight that one, you put a pin in that. It's one we are going to buy, but just wait. You know, you don't have to put fresh cash in at the moment.
Good. As long as your clients understand that, that's the main thing. But sometimes it's rather, and again, I'll use that old cricket analogy where, you know, sometimes the best balls you ever play are the ones you don't play. In other words, you don't try and hit it for four. That's what you do. Okay, David, what was the value traded today?
Value traded, disappointing again. You know, I'm going to give it to you now. Under 20 billion. So I'm making it 19 billion. And once more, NASPERS and Prosus making up 20% of the market. Sasol, Anglo's, First Rand, some of the other big traders. But I mean, we've been surviving on the buybacks by both NASPERS and Prosus, you know, who continue to put money into the market and buy back their shares. So, but that's volumes are pitifully low. The market's very, very, it's very difficult. You heard Nick on Tuesday night saying how difficult it was to fulfill an order. So, I would suppose that applies to most of the markets around the world. People just not doing anything.
I think you're absolutely right. As we speak, the S&P 500 is just over 1.5% weaker, but that's around about, it's clawed back about a quarter of its losses from earlier on when it was down just over 2%. David Shapiro, good luck on television tonight. David Shapiro is from Sesame Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.